Hi, I'm Jared Benz, an ISV Architect Evangelist with Microsoft, and today I'm talking about using the Live Framework to build always available social applications. The idea of sharing applications with friends and across multiple devices sounds a bit like science fiction. It's because the technical challenges are very hard to solve. Things like how does an application get on each device? How's the data shared? How does everything stay in sync, and how do we deal with conflicts? Live Framework and Live Mesh aim to solve these problems and to start making always available social applications a reality today. Live Mesh is heavily feed driven. Just about everything in a mesh is a feed, and even applications themselves are stored as feeds. By storing an application in a feed, devices know what applications are available and when updates need to be downloaded. Applications can in turn have their own feeds too. The PhotoSuru app, for example, uses separate feeds for each photo collection. Now, a web browser is, by definition, tied to the web. A browser is only usable when it's online, so browsers always run the app online and read and write data directly to live feeds. PCs, especially laptops and phones, however, are not always connected. If I want my applications and data available offline, I've got a problem. The solution is to install a small version of the runtime to my device. The runtime is called the Live Operating Environment, or LOE. Now, when I choose to have an application available on my device, it gets downloaded and runs in the local environment. Application data is cached here too, so it's available even when I'm offline. When I run the application from the Live Operating Environment, writing data into feeds is actually writing data into local storage. When the device comes back online, updates are synchronized with the cloud and the application can respond to conflicts if necessary. Windows Azure and the Live Framework take care of storing your app, allowing users to add your app to their devices, and they even take care of application updates. As a developer, your biggest task will be to understand mesh storage and how to leverage mesh feeds. Storage and feeds are covered in the SDK as the Live Framework resource model. The smallest unit you'll work with is the data entry. You can think of data entry as a single record in a table, though it's really an entry in a feed. Each data entry can be associated with a media resource. You can think of a media resource as a blob column in a table, allowing you to store your own custom data with the entry. A media resource can be binary data. In fact, that's exactly how the Mesh File Sync client works. A media resource can also be any custom business object that's data contract serializable. There can be multiple entries in a feed, and feeds are part of a mesh object. There's other data we care about that's related to the feed too. Information like who's running our application, the members, which devices our application is synchronized with, the mappings, and updates for when people have performed activities in our application. Now, mesh objects live in the mesh, and the mesh provides details about things like the devices connected to it and news that affects the entire mesh. And finally, the mesh is part of the live operating environment. Other services are available here as well, like access to your contact list, and information from your online profiles at live.com. Now let's jump into a sample and see how an application can be built for multiple people and multiple devices using Live Mesh. Here you see the user interface for the chatboard sample. It's split into three separate areas. There's the header layout area, the status area, and the chat area. The chat layout is also split into two sections, a section for incoming messages and a section for outgoing messages. In the incoming area, we have a simple list box. This list box uses data binding and a data template to display a custom chat message object we've defined in code. Here is the chat message object. You'll notice that it's data contract serializable, and it has three data members: sender ID, text, and the date and time that the message was sent. Now let's see how the application works with this data. You may notice that a mesh application starts a little differently. The first thing that's done is that the application grabs a reference to the Mesh Application Service. Then we subscribe to the Load Completed event, and the Mesh services are loaded. These steps connect to the live operating environment, whether it's running in the cloud or on our device. When the connection is completed and our services are loaded, we're able to continue loading our application just as we would in the constructor. Here we're getting a reference to the live operating environment, the live mesh, and a feed that we can use to store our chat messages. Next, we create a chat engine, which is really the heart of this application, and we supply our feed. And finally, we use data binding to connect the list of local messages in the chat engine to our user interface. When the send button is clicked, a new chat message is created using the input box, the current mesh user, and the computer's clock. The message is then sent using the chat engine and the text box is cleared. So now let's take a look at how the chat engine is implemented. As you saw on the previous screen, there is an observable collection of messages called local messages, and this is what provides the list box with its data. The send method starts by creating a data entry resource. Remember, this is the blob, if you will, that's associated with the record. We call setUserData, and we pass in our custom data type. Then we create a data entry that can be added to the feed, and we wrap it around our resource. We add our entry to the feed, and we ask the mesh to perform background synchronization. This will get this new message out to all the devices. Now that the message is in the feed, we can simply call an update to reprocess the feed and get that message into the UI. One of the neat things about feeds in Live Mesh is that they are linked queryable. In this case, we're pulling back all of the entries in our feed, and we're sorting them by the date that they were published. Next, we begin looping through all the data entries in the feed, looking for messages that we've already received. We can compare the messages locally with the ones that are in the feed by comparing the resource ID. This application doesn't allow you to go back and edit messages or delete them. So in this case, if a message already exists, we don't need to do anything. Assuming the message doesn't exist, we'll create a local wrapper and add it to the message collection. Data binding gets it on the screen. You may be wondering why we need the wrapper when all that we're displaying is the chat message. Chat message doesn't contain a resource ID because resource ID is a mesh-specific feature. We'll need the resource ID later, though, to compare it against new items coming into the feed. This wrapper provides quick access to our message, as well as the data entry that represents it. So again, a quick review. We get all the entries in the feed, sorted by publish date. We'll look to see if we've already received this message in the past, and if we have, we can safely ignore it. Otherwise, we create a new wrapper so that we know the resource ID and the entry. We add it to our observable collection, and it's displayed on the screen. So let's hit F5 and see this application run. Visual Studio is connecting to the mesh and updating files. And finally, it's launching the live desktop. Now the live desktop is an environment where we can run our apps and test them directly on a web page. It looks a lot like a Vista desktop, but it's just HTML. So here's our chat board application. And I'll add a test message. The message was committed to the mesh, and through data binding appeared in the user interface. Now notice on the right-hand side here, I've got some interesting features. I can see when the application was created. I can see when a user joined. I can also see the members associated with this application. So for example, I could come here, and I can invite any of my contacts to share this application instance with me. As soon as a contact is added to this application, they would immediately see all of the messages on the left-hand side. Another interesting piece of information is the list of synchronized devices. So this application is available on my live desktop, as well as on my laptop. In fact, if we close this application and minimize the browser, we can go to our desktop and see the mesh chat icon. We'll run the app. And notice the same application with the same chat message here on my desktop. I can add members and see the synchronized devices here, and I can even close the news pane if I don't want to see it. When I move back to my application, the news pane fades away, and we have a desktop Silverlight application. So I hope you found this interesting, and good luck building your own always available social applications.